Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. We build people. CSIC is a church whose mission is to love all people, win them to Christ, build them in discipleship, and send them out to fulfill their destiny. At CSIC, our core values are inclusion. We thrive on diversity. Everyone matters. It's exciting. Worship, discipleship, fellowship, evangelism, care. CSIC loves people, all people. Hashtag love win, build sin. Check us out on Facebook at Carpenter Shop International Church or on YouTube at CSIC Media. Or join us in person on Sundays at 10 a.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Are we excited about, oh no, good morning, good morning. Let's stand this morning. Anybody's just excited to be in the house of the Lord again? No, anybody's just really grateful, really honored that God thought it not robbery to give us life, to give us breath this morning? This morning, we're just going to sing a song about how we serve a great God, how he is stronger than anything, how he sits above all things. Does anybody believe that this morning? Oh, no, y'all a little too quiet for me this morning. Does anybody really believe that our God is greater? Yeah. Clap on.
You're worthy, Jesus. Water to turn into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, God. None like you. And into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, Jesus. None like you. We say our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand? And if our God is, then what could ever? And if our God, and if our God is for us, then who could ever? And if our God is
with us, then what could stand?
God is healer, awesome in power. Yes, you are. God, God is in, God, God is great. God, you are higher. You're the highest of highest. Our God, one more time, our God is. We lift it up to you, Jesus. Receive our worship. God, you are healing, awesome in power. Oh, and if our God is for us, oh, and if our God is for us, if he's for you, who can be against you? And if our God is for us, and if our God is for us, God is for us, and if our God is for us, and if our God is, and if our God is, whoa, what can stand against? And if our God is for us, who could ever stand? If our God is, one more time, and if our God is. Against the Lord, nobody.
Church, let's lift our hands this morning. And we don't do this just because we can, just because it's something that we hear Corey say, so we decide to do it. It's a sign of reverence. It's a sign of surrender. It's our way of saying, God, we honor you for being great. We honor you for being holy. We honor you for being a keeper. Because he's all of those things.
You're for us, Jesus. No one stands against you. You are great. You are great. Hey, you are great, Lord. The elders cast their crown down, for you are great.
Yeah.
Lord, you are great, Jesus. We stand in awe of you, for you are great. You are great.
Let's sing that out, church.
Sing, our God is greater, our God is greater, our God is stronger.
Yes, Lord.
Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, sing, our God is greater. And God, you are higher than any. Our God,
hallelujah. And he's indescribable.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus,
yes, Lord,
for your love, for keeping us, God,
yeah,
for loving on us, Jesus. Lord, we love you.
From the colors of fall to the the fragrance of spring. Creation's revealing your majesty, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God, and all powerful, untamable. All struck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim that you are amazing, God.
Yes, you are. Lord, we love you. You are. it, church.
Light.
Yes.
I was lost, but now I'm found. He did it for you. I love you, Jesus. Provision. We thank you, Lord, that you're our safety. And Lord, you are our future. We give you praise for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Isn't God good this morning? It's so good to see you, Carpenter Shop International Church. And if you're a guest with us today, we'd love to see you out back in our lobby following the service. We'd love to give you a little gift and just speak to you, introduce ourselves. So at this time, I just want, you can be seated. I just want to acknowledge that the last few weeks, our church has had numerous opportunities to reach out in the community. Numerous opportunities to support one another in this body. And if you are one of those people that helped, I want you to stand up. It might have been making a casserole for somebody. It may have been cooking chicken on the grill, Biddy, our chicken dude. He is so good. It might have been making a humongous baked spaghetti. It might have been delivering food to somebody that was sick. It may have been supporting a bereaved family through the repast. It may have been making a telephone call or a text message or sending a card. If you did any of those things, I want you to stand up now. Yes, our teenage boys served in so many areas these past couple of weeks. They were the bomb. They did excellent. You know, there's just something about sitting at a big round table, having homemade food. Now you know what I'm talking about. And good-looking boys coming up to you dressed in a white crisp shirt and black pants and taking your trash away and giving you a refill of tea. Even if you didn't want any tea, guess what you're going to say? Yes. Yes, I'll take some. It was wonderful. Thank you, guys. And thanks, everyone, for being supportive. You know, there are times in our lives and in our family as Carpenter Shop that we go through difficult times. And it's in those times in supporting one another in the small ways that's so amazing. So today, there's probably some families sitting home, not quite ready to come back, not healthy enough to come back, but thanking God for the things that took place in the last few weeks from you. Thanking God for you. Thanking God for a card. Thanking God
for a homemade dessert, thanking God for someone coming in and sprucing up your house. Those things are so important. That's God's hands extended, isn't it? Yes, yes. We're excited about all that God is doing, and I don't want to miss anything, so I'm like, Corey, I'm going to look at my phone. But we do. We want to thank you, volunteers, for doing all that you do. You make Carpenter Shop what it is. You make us family. Yes, thank you. All right. At this time, we're going to have a video from Pastor.
Hello, CSIC family. It's Pastor Wallace here, and I wanted to come to you today with a great sense of excitement and joy over what God has accomplished in 2023. We're nearing the end of a year and facing the beginning of a brand new one, and today I'm just thankful for a number of salvations and water baptisms and life changes that have taken place in this wonderful sanctuary right here on Catherine Creek Road in Ahoskie. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but around the campus, we've made a few positive changes. We cleaned up 6 acres of woodland behind us, clearing it out to look at the future of a park where some picnic tables, some families can gather, have a picnic or whatever. We also added 40 parking spaces on the backside of the property. It's exciting to see what God is doing. We purchased a brand new church van, CSIC van, that the youth is using on a regular basis, and it's so exciting to see them to have transportation to go where they need to go and do what they need to do. Such an exciting time. I'm excited about changes that are coming our way. We've already begun to remodel the cafe. It'll be open very soon. Also in the sanctuary, I'm excited about a brand new look for 2024. We're working on carpeting. We're working on ceiling, new flooring. 425 brand new theater style seats. I can't wait to get it done, and I know that you're excited about it also. When you look at the cost of that, it's about $235 for a seat. Why don't you consider today purchasing your seat, maybe your family's, make it a goal. Why don't you even purchase a seat for somebody who's yet to be saved? I'm excited about what God is doing at Carpenter Shop International Church.
Yes, amen. Amen. You know what? There's always something going on. How many's had a leak under your kitchen sink lately? Yeah. Air condition go out? You popped on your heater this week for the first time and realized it's not heating. Our houses need repairs, and so does the house of the Lord. So we're excited about what God's doing and how he's going to use those new seats. Amen. And let's continue to pray for Teresa, who had knee replacement surgery, for Shirley, who is walking through breast cancer and finding out what the plan is in the future. Let's remember that she has a fundraiser coming up Saturday. Yes, Saturday, the 28th, I think. And you can get in touch with Heidi or Dorothy about that information. And also, let's remember Mother Jenny. She lost her son. And also Yvonne Daniels, Speck, her husband passed away. So I'm sure there's many that I'm forgetting, but let's remember those needs in prayer this week. And at this time, we're going to worship the Lord in our giving. We have buckets across the front. Feel free to give now as Brittany sings.
As we worship in this next song, I just want to encourage you to whatever's going on, whether it be good or bad, you just give it to God. Hidden glory and creation. Now
What a powerful name it is. Come on, stand to your feet one more time and let's just worship that powerful name of Jesus. Come on. Has he done something for you today? Has he done something for you this week? Come on, y'all. The powerful name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the crucified one, the risen one, the one who done it all. Amen. Come on. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Death could not hold you. The grave was before you. Hallelujah. Of sin and shame, the heavens are roaring. Hallelujah.
Praise of your glory, for you are
this part. You don't have a rival.
You
come on.
You have no equal. Have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the day.
Hallelujah. Powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Come here, young man. Come here, young man. You're chosen this morning. You're chosen this morning. Amen. It looks kind of intimidating out there, don't it? You know what? I've been watching you. Pastor Joy was talking about you guys serving. I was watching you just last week, serving tea, smiling at people. Even a couple of times, just a greeting. And you have a servant's heart. Yeah. I'm prophesying over you, okay? You have a servant's heart. And if you knew the plans that God had for you, it would probably scare you to death, okay? But God has a plan for your life, okay? He does. He said of a man named Jeremiah in the Old Testament, he said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Okay, you read that before? Chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, one of my favorite verses. He said, before you were born, I set you apart and ordained you a prophet to the nations. I see a mantle of something on you that I really can't describe today, but I see leadership on you. I see humility on you. I see service on you. And Jesus told us in his word that the one who was greatest is the one who's the servant. Amen. Come on, y'all. The one who's the servant. What I'm holding in my hand right here, I brought it from home this morning because as it is with many, hold that, Pastor Joy. As it is with many, our hearts are on Israel, okay? We just sang about that beautiful name. You know why they're fighting today in Israel? Because of that beautiful name. We're going to get it in the word today, I promise you. They're fighting because of that beautiful name. And this is a tallit. Have you ever heard that before? This is called a tallit. Jesus wore one of these, okay? Because this is the garment of prayer for a Jew. When you go to Israel, you see, when you get to Jerusalem, you don't see them very much out in the rural parts because you don't see a lot of Jewish people out there. But when you get to Israel, the capital, Jerusalem, these are everywhere. People are wearing these. Men are wearing these. This is called a tallit, and it's in the Bible. And the Bible even gives a description of the color. It gives a description of the number of knots. See all those knots right there? It gives a description of the knots, the tassel. That right there is the hem. Remember when she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. She was pressing through the crowd. If I can touch the hem of his garment, I know I'd be made whole. Our prayer team right here at Carpenter Shop International Church, they come in here Nobody knows. They're, you know, you guys probably don't even know this. They show up at here on Wednesdays, sometimes Thursday at 11, 12 o'clock, and they come in this sanctuary and they pray. And all of them have one of these, okay? It's just a precious symbol of seeking the Lord, of having a covering over your head when you go into a quiet place. It's not a closet, but it's like a, when you pull it over your head, it's like a place where you shut everything else off and you spend time in prayer. I'm giving this to you today because it's a prophetic sign of a call of God on your life, okay? Am I making sense to you? Do you feel there's purpose and value in your life? What do you want to be when you grow up?
Undercover criminal investigation agent.
An undercover agent. I'm an undercover agent. You know, I'm an undercover agent sent from the Father to earth disguised as a white man. Okay. People ask me on airplanes sometimes, you know, they'll say, what do you do for a living? I don't tell them I'm a preacher. Pastor Mike, you know what I'm talking about. I don't say I'm a preacher. A lot depends on what the situation is. Sometimes if I feel free to do that, I'll do it. But most of the time I'll say I'm a motivational speaker. Oh, really? Okay, what kind of speaking do you do? Primarily leadership, you know, but then when it gets to where I feel like they can handle it, then I'll just say, hey, really, you know, my heart of hearts, I'm a pastor. But I'm going to have Pastor Joy just lay this on you right now. And the people of God, look at them out there. They're going to stretch their hand out to you. Because, see, I've watched you. You're in it alone, too, sometimes. You catch a ride. You show up with someone else. Sometimes you're the first one here. You're the last one to leave. You're cleaning up. You're doing all those kinds of things. So today, Pastor Joy is going to lay this across you as a prophetic sign. And we're going to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, mighty and strong, we thank you for this young man. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for what your word says about Jeremiah the prophet. And Lord, I don't know what you have in the details, but I do know this. I know I see today, and I've seen in last weeks and months, your hand upon this young man who has a desire and a heart to serve you. And so today, we do this not just for him, but as a prophetic sign to the younger generation. His friends are reaching their hands out right now. And I thank you, Lord, for the plans you have for him. And I pray that you would use him for your glory and your honor. And when he, in his secret place at home, throws this across his shoulders and even on his head, God, you would speak to him your oracles, the oracles of the Father, to his heart. Speak to him through the word. I pray a supernatural understanding of the word of God come to him, and a hunger and a desire for the word of God like never before. Thank you, Lord, for saving him. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. There's something you can put that in. Thank you, my friend. God bless you, sir. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, worship guys. You guys appreciate this team today? Come on, y'all. Hallelujah. We're living in a day and an hour that is so shocking. The title of my message today is Real Time. How many of you know what I'm talking about when you're looking at something in real time? When you're looking at it while it's going on, right? This is not something that you're looking at that happened 10 years ago. We're living in real time. And if you'd have told me that we would be where we are, that I would see it. Man, I'm old, y'all, okay? I'm OLD. We don't use that word in our house. We say OLD. We say FAT. We don't use that word either, so. Sometimes my wife and I'll say, you know what, I'm tired of being OLD and FAT, because we don't want to say that word. But I'm older now. I'm 62. But I've never been more excited about what God's doing in my life than I am right now. I feel like I'm your age, okay? I do. Y'all like me? I'm just making sure, okay? But I never would have thought that we would be where we are right now. I never would have imagined that we would be alive when what's going on is going on. I just didn't think so. I've been preaching for 42 years. I never would have imagined that I'd be seeing what I'm seeing in the culture, in the society, and in the world today. Thank you, online audience, for watching us today. Thank you. If you're watching, just hit share, just exponentially. You just carry that message to all of your friends. Just hit share if you're watching. It's in real time. I want to begin. I have a lot of scripture today. Don't let it be more than you read this week. We have a lot of scripture, and I did it for a reason. I want the Word of God to speak, okay? The Word of God to speak. Luke chapter 21. And I pray right now, Lord, that you would just give an open ear and spirit to receive the word, not what Wallace says, not what PW says, just the word that you speak would find lodging places in our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. May this word today, may it help the person who's struggling in their faith. May it help the person who's yet to know you. May it cause people to come to Christ today, here in this building, and even online. I pray, Lord, that you would help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 21, the verses are 20 to 28. I'll begin by reading out of the New Living Translation, the NLT. I remember when the Living Bible was green. How many of y'all remember that? Just a green book by Tyndale Publishers. It was not a translation. It was a what? Thank you. Can always count on Pastor Mike. He knows the answers. Okay. It's a paraphrase. I broke my piggy bank. I did have a piggy bank. How many of y'all had one? I broke my piggy bank as a child. Not a child, probably around your age. I was with my brother. Someone was witnessing Jesus to my brother. And I was the brother who was tagging along. I didn't have a license, so I was probably 14, 15. Yeah, he was driving, and I'm 4 years behind him, so I might have been even 13. But I was with him, and I was tagging along with him, and he didn't want me with him. How many of you don't want your younger sibling with you when you're driving? Come on, you just want to go by yourself because that ain't cool, right? So I was with him, and this guy was witnessing to my brother. My brother was rejecting the witness. But I'm over there in the corner. What's happening to me, Pastor Frank? I'm receiving it in my heart. Okay? It impacted me so much that I didn't say anything to anybody about it. But I went home and I shut my bedroom door and I took my bank. And I couldn't get it open. I couldn't get that plug out of the bottom. I was so nervous. Finally, I just went and I broke it. And all the money laid out on the table on the dresser there. I scooped it into a bag. I got on my bicycle, and I went down to Woodard's Pharmacy, Hertford, North Carolina, on the corner. And I purchased a green Tyndale Publishers Living Bible. I went back home quickly, shut myself alone in the bedroom, and looked up the verses that young man had shared with my brother. And the Spirit of God began to speak to me. So I know the Lord can talk to you. The Spirit of the Lord began to speak to me through that paraphrase. And I used that Bible for a long time, not as the main one, but I referred to it. Today, we have the joy of saying that it's no longer a paraphrase, but some of you in the pews here today are holding the NLT. If you got an NLT, just raise your hand. I know Mother Virginia uses the NLT all the time. The New Living Translation, okay? And it's somewhat similar to the New International Version. It's a great work. And so I'm just saying today that I never thought that I would see the reality of what's going on in this world today. So in the NLT, Luke 21, and when you see Jerusalem, if you're in Jerusalem, they don't say Jerusalem. They don't pronounce the J's. They say Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim. Okay? So it was in, when you're in Jerusalem, when you see Jerusalem, here we go, surrounded by armies, then you will know that the time of its destruction. Pick up on these key words. Let the Bible do the preaching. The time of its destruction has arrived. Then those in Judea must do what? Flee to the hills. I got an email from our Assemblies of God missionary in the Gaza Strip this morning. He's not in the Gaza Strip. Thankfully, he was in the USA. He was to fly to the Gaza Strip tomorrow. But guess what? All flights canceled. Okay? So he's not going. John Carlock is the missionary there. He leads the church in the Assemblies of God in that place. Several years ago, we had a kids pastor named Stephanie Hoggard. How many of y'all remember Miss Stephanie? Stephanie Hoggard was a kids pastor here. When she left her duties here, you know where she went? She went to work at Lighthouse School of the Assemblies of God in the Gaza Strip. Okay? Today she's back at Askewville Assembly. But in those years she served there, and on one of my journeys to Israel, I had the courage to show up and visit them at that Lighthouse School of the Assemblies of God. That school today is supplying bedding, water, clothing, and even protection underground for people who are in Gaza. So then those in Judea must flee to the hills. Those in Jerusalem must get out, and those out in the country should not return to the city, for those will be the days of God's vengeance. So who's in charge here? God. Those will be the days of God's vengeance. Those are fleeing because God is getting ready to do something here, and you don't need to be in the midst of where he's doing it. And the prophetic words of the scriptures will be fulfilled. How terrible it will be for pregnant women and nursing mothers in those days. Isn't it interesting? I just read that, but isn't it interesting who they're targeting over there? It's the older women and the pregnant mothers and the young ladies, capturing them as hostages. For there will be disaster in the land and great anger against this what? This people. Okay? Anger against this people. It always has been that way. They will be killed by the sword or sent away as captives, as hostages. Okay, come on, y'all. Get on up here in real time. As hostages to all the nations of the world. And Jerusalem will be trampled down by the Gentiles until the period of the Gentiles comes to an end. And there will be strange signs in the sun, moon, and the stars. And here on earth, the nations will be in turmoil. We'll get to this toward the end of the message. Perplexed by the roaring seas and the strange tides, people will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth. For the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then everyone will see, here we go, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, coming on a cloud with great power and great glory. So when all these things begin to happen, stand up and look up. In the King James it says, your redemption draweth nigh. Your salvation, the completion of that is right here. Okay? See, you've only trusted by faith now. You've trusted by faith. You've put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. That the deal is finished on the cross of Calvary when he said it's finished. But you know what? You haven't really realized the epitome of that deal yet. And here we are on planet Earth. We're watching all this stuff. Look at Matthew 24. But about that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah. Notice this now. He's making a comparison here, going all the way back to Genesis chapter 6. We'll get there in a minute. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. And up to the day Noah entered the ark, they were living their life. They were partying it up, man. They were having a time of their life, they thought. And they knew nothing, verse 39, about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. There was a message in the land. They thought Noah was crazy. What are you doing? You are a fool building a boat like this. You're a fool. But Noah heard the Lord. Noah, the Bible says he found favor in the sight of the Lord. And he heard the Lord. And he said,
Jesus here says, that's how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men in the field, one taken, the other left. Two women grinding with a handmill, one taken, the other left. Therefore, verse 42, keep watch. Come on, look at your neighbor, tell him, keep watch. Keep watch, because you do not know on what day the Lord will come. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness. You catch that? The Lord is watching his creation. I like the way Corey said it a couple of weeks ago. The Lord who is up high and looks down low. He's above it all, y'all. The Lord is observing the extent of human wickedness on the earth. And he saw that everything. Come on, y'all, help me here. Everything. Everything. They thought, everything they imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart, this translation says. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, and I will destroy every living thing, all the people, all the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, even the birds of the sky. I am sorry I ever made them. But Noah found favor with the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. That's what you need to do today. You need to walk in close fellowship with the Lord. You need to get in your secret place. You need to get in your place of prayer. And you need to hear from the Lord. And you need to read his word. And when you get in your car, you need to make sure you turn on worship music. Y'all may think I'm crazy, but every time Pastor Joy and I leave our house, she said, you turn the music on? I said, no, go over there to the TV. And I take it off of Fox News or whatever it is I'm watching, and I go all the way to 1734 on my network, and it's Christian worship. And then I take the volume. Come on, somebody say, crank it up, y'all. I take the volume, and I crank it up. And when I leave my house is saturated with worship. When I leave my house, you say, man, you're burning up. Look, it won't cost you $5 a month. You're paying more for apps on your phone than you are going to pay for that. And I turn the music up as God is my witness. Every time I leave the house, I leave worship blaring in my house. Okay? Now, you don't have to do that, but I need to do it. And when I come in my house, the first thing that hits me, Whoa, Lord, thank you, thank you. I've had the praises going up, and I feel the presence of God. And there's a mezuzah right at my door. The Lord bless your going out and your coming in. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. The mezuzah's there on my door. That's a Jewish thing, too. Okay, maybe in the next few weeks I'll teach on this garment you're wearing. So I just walk into my haven of rest, sit down in my chair, throw that seat up, and feel the presence of God. Because I've left that cavity empty. I said this morning, our dog was, I wish I had a picture of Bogey. I don't have one with me on the screen. But I told Pastor Joy yesterday, I said, we got a Christian dog. Amen. Yeah. I prophesy over him, tell him what a good boy he is. And he's getting there. He's not there yet, but he's getting there. But he watches over my house. Before we left this morning, we fixed this little place on top of our bed, and it's just a square blanket. Ann's responsible for it. She did it. We fixed a little place on the bed, and he cannot wait for us to open the blinds, and he jumps up on that king-size bed, and he sits there and stares outside. With the spirit of Clint Eastwood, go ahead, make my day, try to come in this house. Man, he will eat you up. He will eat you up. He's on post. He's on assignment. He's a guard dog, man. He's watching his post. And I promise you, he will stay there on that king-size bed and stare out that window until we get back there this afternoon. When I pull into the driveway, you can see him, man, wrinkles on his little gray face, and he's staring. He's so glad we're home. Can I have a break? I said, yeah, Bogey, take a break, bud, take a break. Okay? There's so many things going on in this earth. Look at what it says here. It says Noah finds favor, and it says this is the account. He walked in fellowship. He had three sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth. Now God saw the earth had become corrupt and was filled with what? Violence. It was filled with violence. God observed all the corruption in the world. He's looking high, looking down low, for everyone on the earth was corrupt. And God said to Noah, I've decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with, and I underscored this for you, they fill the earth with what? Violence. Yes, I will wipe them all out along with the earth. Notice this characteristic of humanity in verse number 5. The Lord observed the extent of their wickedness. He saw that everything they thought, everything they imagined was consistently and totally evil. Verse 13 has this interesting word. That's what I want you to get here. As it describes the behavior of humanity at this time when God prepared to destroy humanity and then replenish it. It says in verse 13, for they have filled the earth with violence. If you look in the Hebrew, the word for violence in the Hebrew is, guess what? Hamas. You ever heard that word in the last few weeks? The word for violence, the word where the Lord describes from his Bible, from his word, he describes the epitome of evil and violence on the earth. In the Hebrew, it's Hamas. Now, Hebrew, Hamas means violence. Hamas, H-A-M-A-S, in the English translation, is basically an acronym for this crazy group of Muslims, an Islamic resistant type movement. Wow, Hamas means what? Violence. It means violence. They delight in violence. They have no care about life. In fact, Friday they declared an international worldwide day of jihad. It means, hey, if you get fortunate enough to lose your life trying to promote violence, then you've done the epitome for Allah, the God. That's the way they look at it. They don't care if they're going to die or not. I mean, how many times have you seen it depicted in movies where they strapped bombs all across their chest and they were the one that hit the detonator button? They thought they were doing the very best thing they could do, is being a martyr for their God. Craziness. Again, this war, let me tell you something. This Israel-Hamas war was not started by historical measures like territorial tensions. It's not started because of land this time. It was only started because of the hatred that they have for people, for God's people. They hate God's people. It wasn't a historical ongoing argument about the land in Israel. It's not an issue, as I said, of territorial tension. It was and is only evil. It was and is an attack on God's people. It's the classic understanding of good versus evil. I want you to hear me today. Israel has always been the target of attack. I just read it to you in the Bible. Why has Israel always been the target of attack? Why has Israel always been in the bullseye? In fact, I saw a map this week that highlighted, I should have shown it to you, but it highlighted all of the Arab nations around and above them on all sides. And then one little tiny speck that you couldn't even see the speck. They had to put it in a square so you would know where it was. And that's Israel. A bigger space as it is from Interstate 95, Rocky Mount, City on the Rise, to the coast of North Carolina. That's Israel. That's why I say, hey, if you're going to Israel, you can go up and down, north, south, east, west, do it all in a day. You can cover that nation in a day. Okay? This nation, why is Israel under so much attack? Israel is under attack because Israel gave us two very important things in life. Number one, they gave us the Torah. The Torah is the Hebrew Bible. The Torah is the Pentateuch. Penta is a word that is a factor of five. They gave us the first five books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They gave us the Torah. It's Moses who's up on Sinai. He's receiving that law, the Hebrew Bible. It's where God spoke to him on that mountain. You know the life laws. Come on, y'all. You know the life policies, the life principles. Exodus 20 shows them as the Ten Commandments. And here's what the Ten Commandments do. They basically give us a division of two things. Number one, it's a treatise or a set of policies and guidelines on how you are to respond to God. He's creator, you are creation. Are you with me? He created you. So how do you respond to God? Well, here's how you respond to God. You shall have no other gods before him. You shouldn't. You can't have other gods before him. Some people have gods that are tangible. It gets in the way of their relationship with God. It gets in the way of what they do to prepare themselves, to be in the house of worship, to fellowship with believers of like precious faith. There's some people that are not here today because they had something that was more important for them than just another worship service. They're not going to waste their time. I told you just last week, people say to me all the time, hey man, we've been missing you. And what do they say back? Man, we just working so much. You know why you're working so much? Because you put yourself in a position that if you don't work, they're going to take your car from you. If you don't work, they're going to get your house. But yet you look at how many checks you wrote to CSIC in the last year, you can't find any because you don't tithe. So you don't respect God. You rob from him. You steal from him because he's given you the money and he's given you the commands on how to handle that money. But you're not going to do it because you can't afford to do it. No, you can't afford not to do it. You can't. Because when you tithe, when you see that as holy unto the Lord, he says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, the devil who tries to come and steal stuff from you. See, we got it all messed up. We're living the life the way we want to live it. But he says, you can't have other gods before me. And then he says, secondly, you can't make for yourself any image in the form of anything. It can't be in the form of a bass boat or a shotgun or a diving board. You can't put anything before God. It's God first. It's him first. Last week we said it this way, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye what? First the kingdom of God. And then all of the other stuff will take care of itself. Food, clothing, raiment, everything that you need. It'll be there. You can't put other gods before him. And it says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Man, that's an understatement. How many times people just take the name of the Lord in vain, cussing, carrying on, using his name in vain, even just getting angry and going, well, Jesus Christ. No, shut your mouth. Jesus Christ is not a name to be uttered in frustration. You don't use his name that way. You're misusing it. And then he says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. There should be a Sabbath in your life where you just shut everything else off and today's the day the Lord has given me. Today's the day the Lord has given me and I'm going to honor him with this day. I'm going to rest. You work. That's 6 days. And then you rest. You say, well, I can't help it, Pastor. I got to work on Sunday. The emergency room called me in. I got a 12-hour shift. I got to work. Then maybe your Sabbath this week might be Monday or Tuesday. You know why? Because he took all of our Sabbaths. And Colossians says he did what? He nailed them to the cross. Okay? And if we were really here on the Sabbath day, we wouldn't be here right now. We would have been here Friday at 5 o'clock having a worship service. Okay? The church changed all that. In the early days of the Catholic movement, we changed that day. Okay? So we set aside the day of worship as Sunday. Okay? There's a lot of argument, a lot of this, that, and the other about it. I don't want to get into that. I'm taking my Sabbath today. I'm worshiping the Lord today. Okay? Then he says, hey, I've given you principles on how you respond to me. Now I'm going to give you six principles on how you respond to each other, okay? How you treat each other, how you treat humanity, how you respond to your friends, to your family, to your neighbors. He says, what I want you to do is honor your father and your mother, okay? You honor your father and your mother. And this is the only commandment that comes with the promise that if you do that, the days that you live on that the Lord your God will give you on this earth will be longer because you honored them. Also says you shouldn't murder anybody. That also says that you should not commit adultery. And one guy said, well, you know, I've never committed adultery, but you look at porn every day. Yes, you do. I've never committed adultery, but you smoke crack. Yes, you do. Because Jesus redefined some things in the New Testament. We'll get to that in a moment. Then he says you shouldn't steal. Then he says you shouldn't give false testimony against your neighbor. And it also says you shouldn't look in his driveway and wish you had his Tesla. Man, I don't get how they get all this stuff. He got a Tesla. He got a Cadillac. He got a Harley. He says, look, whatever your neighbor gets, you cannot look at your neighbor and covet what he or she has. You take care of your own stuff. I put a post on Facebook this week I thought was rather cool. Why don't you take care of your own garden and stop looking at the weeds and everybody else's? This is what God gave us in the law of Moses. And some say, yeah, Pastor, but that was old covenant. That was the Old Testament. Okay, Jesus redefined a few things in the New Covenant. Murder in the Old Testament was physically killing someone, but you can murder in the New Testament in another way, according to Jesus, Matthew 5, 21, 22. He said, you've heard that it was said, he's referring to the Old Covenant, you've heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or a sister. Some of y'all got brothers and sisters you don't even speak to. Well, after what they did, you don't have that right. When you came to Christ, you lay all your rights down, okay? That's over with. You have the right to forgive. That's what your right is. He says, but I tell you that anyone who's angry with a brother or a sister will be subject to judgment. And again, Jesus says, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raka, he ain't nothing but a worthless, no good nobody. Raka's translated worthless. He's worthless. Wouldn't work in a pie shop. We say it all kinds of ways. He says, you're answerable to court, and anyone who says you fool is in danger of the fire of hell. So Jesus redefines murder. And then in Matthew 5, 27, 28, Jesus redefined adultery in the New Covenant. You've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. That's from the Old Testament. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully, he's already committed adultery with her in his heart. Okay? You can commit adultery with your eyes. You can put another thing, another substance in front of your relationship with God, and you are living an adulterous type of lifestyle. Okay? That's why we say we live under a Judeo-Christian value system. Because a lot of what we believe and teach and live comes out of the old covenant, okay? And it translates over to the new. And sometimes it got redefined or re-understood because Jesus did what to that old covenant? He fulfilled it all, okay? He fulfilled that old covenant. It all started with the Jewish people, Israel, God's chosen people, the people from which the Messiah would come. And so this evil, this Israel-Hamas war is nothing more than an attack on God's people, an attack on the Jews. In fact, this last week has been the single largest attack on the Jewish people since the Holocaust, which took place in the 1930s and the mid-1940s, or the Second World War. That horrible chapter of history where over 6 million Jews were killed. Why were they killed? Because they were Jews. Okay? They were a people that had no value, according to their killers. Now they're attacked again. So it's a war of good and evil. Pastor, what is good? I'm glad you asked me. What is good? I'll tell you what good is. Good is Galatians 5, 22 to 25. But the fruit of your relationship with God through Christ results in spiritual manifestations in your life, like love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ, those who belong to Christ, have crucified the flesh with its passions, with its desires. So since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Pastor, that's what's good. What is evil? Here's what evil is. See if you can find yourself on the list. Paul tells us what evil is in the same chapter, Galatians 5, 19 to 21. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality in any form. Sexual immorality. Impurity. Debauchery. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Hatred. Discord. Getting easier now. Getting a little easier to be on the list right here. Going downhill here. Jealousy. A bad temper. Fits of rage. Selfish ambitions. Dissensions. Factions. Envy. Drunkenness. Orgies and the like, etc., 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 etc. I warn you, Paul says, hey, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And here's what that means. You have to understand the powerful tense of the Greek language. Those who live like this. That is like taking an ing and putting it on the word. Because some of y'all were delivered from some of these things. Some of you sitting in this room were delivered from some of these very things on this list. God set you free. You don't do this anymore. So here's what it means. It means if you do this and you keep on doing this, now that you've come to a knowledge of the truth, Paul said to the church at Corinth, what happens when you're saved? You become a what? New creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things become new. So you don't do this anymore. You don't do this anymore. And in other words, he said, if you keep on doing this, let me just tell you something. You're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. You can think you are. Just, well, I've been going to church, you know. Go to church all you want. If you keep on living like this and abusing God's grace, then you're not going to heaven. You're fooling yourself. God has called us as Christ followers to walk after his ways, to walk in the fruit of righteousness and the fruit of the Spirit of God. So those who walk contrary to this, you're manifesting evil in your life. They're walking contrary to the teaching of the Torah, the teachings of the Bible, the teaching of the Old and the New Covenant. Israel is attacked because they gave us the Torah. Secondly, Israel also gave us what else? The Messiah. The Messiah came from the Jewish people. Jesus was a Jew. I said he had one of these. He did. He was a Jew. The second thing so important that Israel gave us is the Messiah. That Jewish people brought to us the Messiah, Jesus Christ, born a Jew, born without sin, born of the Holy Spirit in the virgin womb of Mary. He lived, he died, he sacrificed sinless life on the cross of Calvary, giving his blood as a ransom for our sin. Hebrews 9:22, for without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin, it says in Hebrews. There's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. And you and I who follow him are not only following him, but living out good on this earth. Jesus said it like this. He said, you're the salt. You're the salt. You are to season this earth with goodness. You are to season this earth with your character that comes from relationship with me. You're to sprinkle the seasoning of my love, my compassion, my kindness, my gentleness, my patience. All this, you season the earth. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. In And so we're preparing ourselves for eternity. Jesus said this, two men in the field, Matthew 24, 40 to 42. One's taken, the other's left. Two women grinding at the mill, one taken, the other left. Therefore, keep watch. Because you don't know what day the Lord's coming. Real time, y'all. While this earth is in real time, moving closer and closer and closer to the end, we are yet one event away. Hear this. One event away from the beginning of Jesus Christ's return to the earth. What is that event? It's called the rapture. The catching away of Christ's followers. Paul said it like this, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17 and 18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. There's going to come a time when the graves will burst open. The dead in Christ rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. He's not coming back at rapture. He's not. He's only coming halfway. And we meet him in the air. And Paul says this. He says, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I like the way what he says in verse 18. He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Jesus doesn't come back to the earth then. He only comes in the air to take the righteous on the earth away. That signals the very worst time that the earth has ever seen. It's called the what? Tribulation. That signals the beginning of the next 7 years of tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. 7 full years after the rapture, it will be hell on earth as the Lord releases his wrath. He hasn't designed his wrath for you and I. So he takes us away from it. The Antichrist appears, and what does he say? I know it's chaotic, but what is his message? The Antichrist's message is peace, peace. No worries, no worries. We got this. What you need to do is get in line, take the mark. Okay? Everything's in place, y'all. Everything's in place. Technology has advanced. I believe full well the Antichrist is alive and living on planet Earth today. It's all ready. It's all ready for him. The system and stage has been set. Antichrist will appear. And in order for you to buy, in order for you to sell, well, I gotta have diapers, I gotta have Similac, I gotta have stuff for my babies, then you need to take the mark. You take the mark, then you buy into their system. The only way after the rapture takes place and the church is gone, the saints are gone, the only way that you can get eternity with God then is do the same thing for him that he did for you. Put your head on the block and die. Because if you don't take the mark, then you're going to die. If you don't follow their system, this one world order, then you're going to die. Okay? Teach, preach, y'all. Come on. Israel versus Hamas. Israel, U.S. and Hamas. Ukraine and Russia. China sitting there waiting just to pull the trigger. On Taiwan, South Korea threatens and says, you know what? South Korea said on Thursday, we will blow up that U.S. carrier by a nuclear bomb. They threatened it this week. They said, we'll blow it up. In other words, everything like pawns on a chessboard is lining up. That's why my first statement to you today was this. I never thought I would see this. And here we are. Man, a lot has to happen. It's real time. Time is short. The rapture could happen literally right now. Literally any day. It wouldn't surprise me at all for the rapture to take place. And the question is this. Will you go? Have you started? Have you given your life to Christ? And are you living for Christ? ING, are you living your life? Last week we talked about what? Priorities. Is he priority in your life? Do you care about your family? Have you taken last week's message and you sat down with him and said, hey guys, I want to talk to you. I'm just concerned about you. I want you to come visit my church or go somewhere, please, because time is short. Priority. Have you made priority to make Jesus the Lord of your life? Will you go? Will you be a part of those who are alive and remain that are caught up together with them in the clouds, or will you be left behind? Can I just tell you, if you can't live under the age of grace for Jesus, you'll never live for him during the tribulation. You never will. The time to settle the matter is now. If I could have my prayer team here, just come. Pastors and ministers, prayer team members, just come. Stand across this front. I want to give an invitation today for you that are here. You that are online, please just hit it in the comment section below. I promise you we'll pray for you. You're here today. You're here today and you're just not really sure. Well, Pastor, I don't like messages like this because you scare me, man. Listen, my intention is never to scare anyone. I'm not here to frighten you. What I bring you today should bring you the biggest, greatest sense of peace you ever found in your life. Because today you can settle the matter. Today you can say, you know what? My priorities are not right. I know they're not. I know me. I know my life. I know my behaviors. I know my character. I know I got some flaws here. And I want to get it straight. Listen, I don't care if I see you at this altar every Sunday. Well, I'd go up there again, but Pastor saw me up there last. So what? So what? If you're here every time the altar opens, just come. Just come. Right now, if the Holy Spirit has laid his finger on your heart, I want you to stand to your feet and come. Come on. Come on, just stand to your feet and come. Just settle the matter. Get it straight. That takes courage, bruh. That takes courage. God bless you. It takes courage. But I can imagine it probably took a lot of courage for Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary's Hill, naked before people, taking the sins of the world upon his back and receiving stripe after stripe after stripe, dying for you and dying for me. Come on, just look. If somebody's praying for somebody, just come on. Stand here. You're next. Just come on. Don't form a line right here. We'll be here for a while. It's okay. God bless you, my friend. God bless you. Praise the Lord. There's a young lady right over there. Praise the Lord. Lord, deal with souls even online today, God. Even in other countries, other nations. Lord, just give them an openness, God, to cry out to you. I give you my life, Lord. I give you my soul. I'm not finished with the message yet. Not quite done. And we sing. Thank you for souls, Lord. Thank you for souls, Lord.
We sing. Yeah.
we sing
making decisions for Christ, even online. If you're making a decision for Christ, please just, we'll reach out to you. I promise you we will. You know, here's the thing. I need to share this with you, because when you go reading, you can ask any scholar in this room, you can ask these preachers, passages like I chose today, Matthew 24, Luke 21, some of the most argued passages in the Bible. When is this? Talk about the destruction of Jerusalem. Jerusalem's been destroyed before, okay? But guess what? I'm not here trying to just give you, hey, this particular date, this particular time. I can tell you this. I know this to be true. The Bible clearly teaches that Jesus doesn't come to earth when he comes to the rapture. He just catches the church away. But here's what the Bible declares. There is a time coming when he's going to go back to his favorite place. My favorite too, when I go to Israel. Literally, one day I just want to go over there with no agenda, no plans. Okay, just say, hey, let's just go to Israel for a few days. You know what I think I would do? I wouldn't get on a bus and go all over that country. I get me a coffee mug and I go down to the Mount of Olives and just hang around there all day, because that's where Jesus hung. You see, Mount of Olives is like, okay, here's me right here, right? The Mount of Olives is down here, you know, Jernigan Swamp Road, okay? Okay? Jernigan Swamp Road, down here, just a mile or so. And then on the other side of that, there's a little village, Bethany. Jesus didn't have, the Bible says, Son of Man didn't have a place to lay his head. So where did he stay? He stayed over there with two dear, dear friends, Mary and Martha, and their brother, Lazarus. We're talking about here, and they live down there a couple of miles, 3 miles down that way. And he would walk over to Mary and Martha and Lazarus's house and spend the night. Every day, somebody say every day. Every day he left Mary and Martha's house and he walked to the temple. Every day. And he loved hanging out at the Mount of Olives. What it is a mountain, a layered mountain, and flanked with beautiful olive trees. Olive trees all over the mountains. Listen to what the Bible says. Zechariah 14, verses 4 to 9. On that day, okay, guess what, guys? Tribulation over with. 7 years, 5 and 2, comes to a close. On that day, his feet, whose feet? Jesus, will stand on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives will split wide open. There's a big valley right in front of the Mount of Olives called the Kedron Valley. It will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley, with half of the mountain moving to the north, half of the mountain moving to the south. You will flee by my mountain valley, for it will extend to Azel. You will flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all the holy ones. Y'all signed up for warriors to be warriors, right? Y'all marching with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the holy ones with him. And on that day, neither sunlight nor cold, frosty darkness. It'll be a unique day, verse 7, a day known only to the Lord, with no distinction between day and night. When evening comes, there will be light. On that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half of it east of the Dead Sea, which has never had any life in it at all. Why they call it the Dead Sea? Because nothing lives in it. And it'll be a living sea then. Half of it west of the Mediterranean in the summer and the winter. The Lord will be king over the whole earth. On that day, there will be one Lord
and his name, the only name. Revelation 19, final passage here. Chapter 11 through 16. John saw it. I saw heaven standing open. And there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like the blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. And he has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of Almighty God. I love this verse, verse 16. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has written the name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come on, y'all. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You've trusted him. Several people this morning trusted him for salvation. So there's, listen, timetable. Right now we're in the midst of so much confusion. This could happen at any moment. Rapture. And then you are caught away. You're caught away. Those of you who placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ are caught away. 7 years tribulation on the earth. At the end of the 7 years tribulation, Jesus returns to earth, puts his foot down on the Mount of Olives. Man, I've stood on that big valley, overlooking that big valley in a place called Megiddo, Mount Megiddo, where it says the blood will be up to the horse's bridle. All of these nations coming in war against who? Against Israel. Okay, this little spot. You've been declared to you who the winner is. The old timers used to say, I read the back of the book and we win. All right? You're going to win. In other words, friends, when you come to Jesus, you're in a win-win situation. Now, I didn't say that it's not going to get rough. Can I promise you it's going to get rough? My son lives on the West Coast. Yesterday morning, California, Seattle, Washington, gas, $7 a gallon. Okay. Same country you live in, $7 a gallon. Okay. I was on the phone with him the other night. I said, what you doing? Well, Caleb wanted pizza for his birthday. He ordered pizza, went and picked it up, $97. Okay. Pizza for the family. Two adults. Five little kids, two of them are under two. How much pizza are they going to eat? None. Pizza, $97. You read that passage in the scripture, it talks about the price of a loaf of bread, okay? Can I just tell you something? Get your stuff in order. Get your stuff in order. If you don't need it, you don't need it. Sell it. Get your stuff in order. Because tough times are coming. If I didn't know that to be true, I would never say it. And if I didn't love you, I wouldn't say it. I love you. Get your house, your spiritual house, in order. Get also your affairs in order. Okay? Get your affairs in order. Simplify your life. Simplify your life. Start practicing what it's like to cook at home. Okay? Some of y'all look at me like, what's he talking about? Okay. Okay. Get your affairs in order. You're alive today. What's the title of the message today? Real time. You're living this out in real time. Pastor, how long do you think it's going to be? I'm not that stupid. I'm not going to answer that question. Because can I just tell you something? When the Apostle Paul was on the earth, Gunner, you know what he thought he was living in? The last days. Okay? He did. Pastor Mike, is that right? He thought he was living in the last days. So I don't know. You know, I can't tell you. But I can tell you this. With Christ, you win. With Christ, you win. Thank you for giving. Thank you for giving the level that you give. I got the call this week. Pastor Wallace. Pastor John from Pakistan, I want to let you know the families that you paid for are out of slavery. Okay? They're out. Okay? We're getting them transferred today to new places to live. Next week, they'll start working their own jobs and taking care of their family. And see, you and I should rejoice because you know what? Somebody paid our debt too, y'all. Come on. Somebody paid our debt. His name is Jesus Christ. Come on, let's stand up and worship him one more time. Sing it, guys. Let's worship the Lord. Come on, why don't you just come around this altar this morning? Come on, just come around.
Face toward you.
From you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory. We sing your worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. So you deserve the glory. You deserve the glory. Yes, you deserve the glory. 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 You deserve. We're waiting for you. Give us peace, Lord.
Lord, we know that we're closer than we've ever been. Humanity's never been here before. And it's more and more imperative today than it's ever been that we continue the work until our Lord comes again. And we complete, each one of us, the assignment that is upon our lives. So we ask you, Lord, to give us a clear view, a focused understanding of what each one of us, the requirements that you have placed upon our lives. And let us see more and more every day, born again, brothers and sisters in the kingdom. And let us, Lord, run this race worthy for the prize. So we ask you, Lord, this week, bring into our presence divine appointments that we could share you with somebody new, that we could make a difference, not just temporal, but eternal. Every one of us sold out to you and to you alone. Bless us, keep us, use us, and bring us back here when the doors are open again, that we might be equipped for this final stretch. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen. Hallelujah.